Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
It's our all-English unit for the month of April, and we're talking about a smoke-free generation, okay, which means these people won't be walking around and smoke will not be coming from them as if they're on fire. No, that's not what it means. It means they're trying to get everybody to quit smoking, and in the future, if England has its way, nobody will be smoking cigarettes at a certain time in the future.
Oh, it's not just England. It's New Zealand, too.
All right, we're going to be talking about England and New Zealand trying to do this. They have this ambitious plan for a smoke-free generation. It's ambitious, it's lofty, and they really are excited about this, and they really want to make it happen. So let's find out what this is all about. Let's listen carefully to our article read in its entirety.
All around the world, countries are pushing for greater tobacco control.New Zealand enacted pioneering legislation in 2022 to ensure the forthcoming generation can never legally purchase cigarettes. Meanwhile, England set a target in 2019 to become smoke-free by 2030. Unfortunately, government analysis shows this target won't be achieved at the current rate of progress. So Prime Minister Rishi Sunak articulated an ambitious plan to get back on track during his party's annual convention in October 2023. Central to his strategy is progressively raising the legal age for purchasing cigarettes, with the ultimate aim of ensuring that those born on or after January 1, 2009 will never hold the legal right to procure tobacco.Smoking remains a primary driver of preventable disease and accounts for around 1 in 4 UK cancer deaths. Sunak's objective is straightforward, preventing individuals from taking up smoking in the first place. Should access to tobacco for the younger generation be diminished, their long-term health should witness a substantial improvement. This not only results in lengthier lifespans,but also a potential alleviation in the demands on the UK's strained healthcare system. However, this move toward a smoke-free generation is not without its critics, who argue that those determined in their smoking habits will merely transition to foreign or illegal sources for their tobacco fix. Equally concerning is the emergence of e-cigarettes, with some suggesting that restricting cigarettes could perversely push individuals toward vaping instead. Experts caution that e-cigarettes, not risk-free in themselves, could induce nicotine addiction in an otherwise non-smoking generation. As global momentum shifts toward tobacco-free generations, the need for change is clear. Combating smoking, which is ingrained in society, requires more than just legislation.If these policies are implemented without adequate support frameworks, they could unintentionally give rise to alternative, equally harmful habits.
Okay, everybody, it's time for us to discuss the contents of today's lesson. We're going to England, and we're also going to New Zealand, and they have this ambitious plan for a smoke-free generation. This is a serious plan that they have, and they want to reduce smoking and even get rid of it. Of course, lots of people here in Taiwan smoke cigarettes. I don't know what you feel about that, but this is one example of a country that's trying to get rid of cigarettes and cigars and pipes and all that fun stuff, because I guess it's bad for health, and if you have a national health or something, it would be a burden on the national health system. So they just want people to stop smoking.
This is their goal. So we'll see what happens. So all around the world, countries are pushing for greater tobacco control. I know when Bloomberg was the mayor in New York City, he tried to raise prices on soda pop, you know, soda pop.Is what I call it, to a price that was just outrageously expensive. And it just made people mad. So he had to repeal it. Doesn't work. If people want to do something, they're going to do it. Here, we're going to talk about how some of the counter reaction to this, what it's going to look like. But it's true, a lot of countries around the world, they're pushing for greater control on lots of things. Tobacco's one of them. New Zealand came up with a really, really kind of crazy plan because it was so...It was very much about stopping smoking almost immediately. So they enacted, if you enact legislation, it means you pass it. If you enact it, you put it into law. So they passed this legislation. Legislation, guys, remember, I was just editing a paper and they kept saying legislations. Mm. And this was a really good English professor here in Taiwan, butLegislation is non-count. We have pieces of legislation or acts of legislation. Here, this is pioneering legislation, so it was brand new, something that had never been tried before, never been done before. Lately, we've seen New Zealand try things that have never been tried before. So this happened in 2022 to ensure the forthcoming generation can never legally purchase cigarettes. So they're just saying...You cannot. We are the government and we're telling you, you can't do it. So if something's forthcoming, you can kind of guess what that means if you look at the word.
Right. It's coming up. It's about to happen in the future, especially the near future. And this would be the next generation or generations following the next generation. And they want to make it guaranteed that they can never legally purchase cigarettes. They're trying to control the substance like they control other kinds of drugs and narcotics and things like that. And meanwhile, England, at the same time, set a target in 2019, which was about 5 years ago, to become smoke-free by 2030. So that was their target, to make it smoke-free by the year 2030, which is in another, what, 6 years or so?
Very quick, yeah.
I'm not sure if they're going to be successful with that, but their target or their goal is to get everybody off of cigarettes,before 2030, and then you won't have to tell people, hey, put out your cigarette. This is a non-smoking area. You won't have to do that anymore because nobody will be smoking.
You'll often see in English, we'll do things like this, guys. We'll take a word and then add free at the end, or you'll see, you know, something free zone or area. Zone just means a particular district. So drug-free zone, gun-free zone, smoke-free zone. You'll see that a lot in English. So that's their hope. They set a target. If you set a target, it's kind of what you're aiming for, right? Mm. That's your goal. So moving on to the next paragraph. Unfortunately, government analysis, this is analysis done by the government there,shows this target won't be achieved at the current rate of progress. So you measure things by how fast or slow something goes. And here they're saying, the progress is very slow on this. I'm not sure we're going to reach our target. And at the moment, the prime minister in England is Rishi Sunak, and he articulated...an ambitious plan to get back on track. To get back on track, guys, is when you're going along with a plan and suddenly something distracts you and you get off your track. You get off track or get off your plan. You're not making the progress that you meant to. So when you see that phrase, get back on track, it just refers to getting back to what you're doing originally. Hopefully that was a positive thing. If you articulate something, it just means you say something very clearly. People can comprehend. It's not something that people go, what? What did he say? Or if someone has really good articulation, it's easy for you to understand the words they're saying. But here he articulated an ambitious plan. We sometimes just use articulate, though, to talk about, you know, he talked about this, and we just want a different word, right? Hmm. We want a different vocabulary word. Don't always use the same verb. I've noticed in Taiwan and Chinese, it's okay to reuse the same verb again and again. It is not good in English writing, though. Be careful.
It doesn't look good, so think of other words to use in the same sentence. And again, to articulate just means to speak clearly, but that's different from pronunciation.
Right.
Pronunciation just means you speak clearly and you make sure everybody understands all your vowels and consonants.
In singing, we talk about articulate the vowel, so it does sometimes mean pronunciation, or her articulation is very clear. So we do use it in some areas, especially in music.
But here it just said he spoke about this ambitious plan to get back on track, to return to their original goal, and they want to reach this goal by October of he didn't say that was the goal. He said, or he articulated this plan in October 2023. Their goal, of course, is 2030. Now, central to his strategy or his plan is progressively raising the legal age for purchasing cigarettes, with the ultimate aim of ensuring that those born on or after January 1st, 2009 will never hold the legal right to procure tobacco. So, of course, this is a process here. It's progressively raising the legal age for purchasing cigarettes. It might be, 16 now, and he's going to raise it to 18, and then 19, then 20, eventually up to 30, up to 40, then 80 years old, and then you have to be 100 years old to buy cigarettes or whatever, which I guess is okay for people that old.
Yeah, if you live to 100, you can buy whatever you want.
Exactly. You probably deserve to do that. I've been looking forward to that myself. When I get old, I'd like to start smoking again. It was kind of fun when I smoked before I quit 20 years ago.
It doesn't kill everybody, you know.
Right. But in any case here, that's their plan, and they've got this ultimate goal. It's the goal they have at the end. That's what ultimate means. They want to ensure that those born on or after January 1st of 2009 will never hold the right to get or procure tobacco. That's what procure means, to obtain something, to get something.
Right. So ultimate, too, can also mean being the best or the most extreme example of something. That's the ultimate stake. If you can go and get, what's it called in Kobe beef? Yeah, Kobe beef in Japan. That's the ultimate stake. There is no better steak because they really just take care of those cows. Those cows do nothing but just eat grass and just relax all day. So they've got a lot of fat in them, which makes the steak tasty. So ultimate here, as Tom said, it just means it happens at the end of the process. So what's the ultimate end, the ultimate goal, the ultimate aim? It's just that. They just want to get people starting to leave their cigarettes behind, and then the younger kids just coming up, that they don't have any desire at all to smoke.
I hope that does not include Cuban cigars. I know people in England like to smoke their cigars.
I don't think it includes pipes either, because they would never be able to outlaw pipe smoking in the UK. Too many people love it.
Indeed, although the practice may diminish over time, who knows? But here in the next paragraph it says, smoking remains a primary driver of preventable diseases and accounts for around 1 in 4 UK cancer deaths. So it's still a driver. It still causes diseases that could be prevented. If you didn't smoke, you wouldn't get sick. Indeed, lots of people get sick because of cigarettes. They get emphysema or lung cancer or things like that. And people also suffer from diseases as a result of secondhand smoke. So yes, indeed, you could blame smoking for 1 in 4 deaths in the UK. That seems like a pretty high number, but if they get people to stop smoking, maybe people will live longer and there won't be so many people dying.
Perhaps. So moving on, guys, smoking remains a primary driver. Yeah, we often will use this. What's the driver behind this? If you're in business and you're in a meeting and someone says, what's driving this? What's the driver behind this? They're just saying, what is behind this that's pushing it? What is making this happen? What is giving this impetus or making something go forward? Could be good or bad, actually. So the primary driver of most sales in different businesses, especially if they're selling a product, is their marketing. Is a product good, number one, but the marketing, is the marketing plan really good? So they're looking at smoking and they say, hey, this is one of the biggest causes of preventable disease and is responsible for 1 in 4. That's 25%. Is that correct? Yes. 25% of the UK cancer deaths, which is quite a bit. I think I think that smoking is still more popular in the UK than in America, if you do percentage-wise. But, yeah, you know, a lot of people, they started out that way, and it's very hard to quit.
This is also a problem in France. I know the French love their cigarettes.
They do.
It's part of their culture, so I wonder what they're thinking in regard to this.
They're saying, forget you.
Yeah, they're probably going to say, nope, we're going to keep on smoking our Galois or whatever, our Gitan, and you guys can just do whatever you want.
Well, that's one of the reasons why the women continue to remain thin. I mean, let's just be honest. That's one of the reasons.
True. If you're smoking, you tend to be thinner. If you quit smoking, you tend to get fat. So a lot of people don't want to quit smoking because they're afraid of getting fat.
And guys, in case you don't know, your favorite actor or actress, especially actress, is probably a smoker in private. Mm. That's one of the ways they can keep the weight off. It's tough to remain thin as you get past 30.
All right, we're about halfway done with our lesson for today, so it's time for us to take a little breather now. But please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Welcome back, guys. It's our All English unit. It's also our News Digest. So we're talking about a piece of news here. England's ambitious plan for a smoke-free generation. Not the current generation, of course. Probably a generation that has yet to be born. But their plan is very ambitious, meaning their goal is quite high and it will be difficult to achieve. If you are described as having an ambitious goal, someone saying, wow, that's not going to be easy. Just look at them and say, I'm going to work hard and I have a lot of faith in myself. I'm going to do it. Here, their plan is to have a smoke-free generation, a generation that doesn't smoke cigarettes. We don't know if it includes cigars, which are quite popular as well, and pipes, which are very popular in England.
Okay, so again, where we left off, we were talking about the fact that smoking accounts for around 1 in 4 UK cancer deaths. And again, we've got the Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, and again, his objective is straightforward. It's simple, it's easy to understand. That's what straightforward is. He wants to prevent individuals or people from taking up smoking in the first place. Indeed, that's one thing they tell you when you're young. Well, if you don't want to have to quit smoking, don't start. Because if you don't start smoking, then you never have to worry about quitting smoking. And, of course, a lot of people may heed that advice. I did not, unfortunately, and I smoked for quite many years.
How many years?
I don't remember. I didn't count. I'd rather not count. But in any case, I know that I've been off cigarettes for more than 20 years. But in any case, it is possible, but it is hard to give up smoking. But, of course, the easiest way to not smoke is to not smoke at the beginning. In the first place, just don't start.
Yeah. Anything that's addictive, and you know what? Smoking's not the only addictive thing. Chocolate, sugar, carbs. Lots of things can be addictive based on your personality as well. So, yeah, if you just don't start, then you don't have to stop. I have some friends who were smokers, and to try to get off smoking was difficult for them, especially because smoking was also a way to socialize. So if they were with their friends and all their friends smoke, they want to smoke, it's relaxing, all this stuff. But, yeah, it is something that they're working towards, at least in England. So he wants to ensure that those that were born or that are born on or after January 1st, 2009 will never hold the legal right to procure tobacco. Well, if he says tobacco, Tom, that would include pipes and cigars. So, yeah, I'm not sure how successful that's going to be. One of the things, and I am not a smoker, I am anti-smoking. But I am pro-freedom, so I don't agree with this policy. There are worse policies out there that they need to be fixing before this one. Well, that's still his objective, is to get people to completely quit and not let them have the legal right. It would become illegal. They would be committing a crime if they were to get their hands on tobacco at some point. If you were born after that date, I'm sure there are smokers out there thinking, whew, I'm so glad I'm older. Anyway, what they're going to do is just take away access. So should access to tobacco for the younger generation be diminished? Diminishing something means to decrease it, so there's not as much going around. Maybe your food supply at home is diminishing, or your savings is diminishing because things are just costing too much these days. Well, these, they want access, so the ability to get your hands on something to be diminished. If this should happen, they're saying, hey, then the long-term health should witness a substantial improvement. That's only if they're eating good, healthy food and not food that's been pumped full of, you know, chemicals, which is what they're doing to our food these days, if you're paying attention. That's going to have a long-term effect on their health as well. So I think this is a Band-Aid on a bigger problem, meaning this is a quick fix that isn't going to fix long-term health. People have to start exercising, eating better food. But even more than exercise, you have to eat good, natural food.
Exactly. But of course, a lot of people just love those tasty potato chips and chocolate and things like that, and pie and cake and things like that.
Yeah.
Oh, they're just so tasty. And of course, cigarettes, of course, are fun. As you said, if you're getting together with friends at a pub or something like that, and you're listening to music and you're talking about your job or whatever, it's great to light up and have yourself a good time, maybe with a little shot of whiskey at the same time. Don't drive if you do that.
We do not encourage drinking on our show, though.
We do not, but people do it. And this not only results in lengthier lifespans, but also a potential alleviation in the demands on the UK's strained healthcare system. So we've got a couple of advantages here, and we're using that not only but also pattern. It not only results in lengthier lifespans, but also can alleviate the demands on the healthcare system. So to result in just means it causes something to happen, and it will result in or lead to lengthier lifespans. Lengthier just means longer. People can live longer. That's what your lifespan is, how long you're supposed to live. And it could also alleviate the demands on the healthcare system. Now, to alleviate, that's the verb. That just means to lessen the intensity of something. Oh, I've got a terrible headache. I'm going to take some aspirin to alleviate my pain, to make it less and less, ideally to make it go away, but sometimes alleviation is all you can expect. Just make it less intense. And that's the verb to alleviate, and the noun is alleviation. So they want to have alleviation in the demands on the healthcare system, because if we have fewer sick people because of smoking, then the doctors and the nurses won't have to work so hard.
Yeah, hopefully. So, however, it says this move toward a smoke-free generation is not without its critics. Critics are people that point out the flaws in something. Maybe it's a performance. They're a music critic or a movie critic. They can also point out the good things as well. But critics here refers mostly to negative things. These critics, and I'm a critic of this, they argue that those determined in their smoking habits will merely transition to foreign or illegal sources for their tobacco fix. So they'll go find what they need somewhere else. And it might be buying things that are coming from another country. Maybe they're trying to illegally buy things from abroad. Or they go to France and get their cigarettes in France. Mm. It's so close. Or they turn to illegal sources, which could get them into trouble. They might be arrested. But they're talking about they'll go to other sources for their tobacco fix. Fix here just means some sort of addiction. So, yeah, he needs it for his cocaine fix or his pot fix or whatever you're addicted to for their tobacco fix. Equally concerning, another issue that people are worried about is the emergence or the new emergence of e-cigarettes. They're not new so much anymore. They've been around for a while, with some suggesting that restricting cigarettes could perversely push individuals toward vaping instead. Vaping has turned out to not be healthy either, but our kids are turning to that because they think it looks cool And, you know, they're saying, well, at least I'm not smoking cigarettes. It's not healthy either. Perverse just means it shows a very deliberate desire to behave in a way that's unacceptable or unreasonable. So they didn't mean for that to happen, you know, by saying, oh, we don't want you smoking cigarettes. But what they did was actually unintentionally push kids, especially the younger generation, toward vaping instead.
Right. Vaping, of course, is the e-cigarettes that are quite common. You see people using them all the time. And experts caution that e-cigarettes, not risk-free in themselves, could induce nicotine addiction in an otherwise non-smoking generation. So, yes, indeed, you're not really smoking if you're vaping. But, of course, the fluid that you buy for your vapors contains nicotine. I think you could also control the amount of nicotine in the fluid that you buy for your e-cigarettes. You can even get fluid that doesn't have any nicotine in it. But of course, if it does have nicotine in it, you can get addicted to that nicotine and you need to have that fix, if you're vaping or if you're smoking cigarettes. So it could induce nicotine addiction. To induce just means to cause something to happen. For example, high prices induced lots of people to go on strike.
Or if you're pregnant and you're about to have your baby, sometimes you'll go to the hospital and doctors will give you something that will induce labor or get your body started in the process. So, yeah, it could induce nicotine addiction. Some people chew nicotine gum.Or they have a nicotine patch on their arm because they still need the nicotine.
Well, that's how you quit. I used the gum to actually quit. It's called, I think it's called Nicorette. It's been many years.
It's Nicorette. I'm sure there are other brands now, but some people, you know, that was why they started. But I know a couple people who just chew it because they want the nicotine.
Okay, that could happen indeed. And the same thing could happen with e-cigarettes or vaping. Mm-hmm. And so if you can't smoke, they may turn to vaping instead. Now, here in the final paragraph, it says, as global momentum shifts toward tobacco-free generations, the need for change is clear.So as it moves toward tobacco-free generations, while this is happening, we've got global momentum. These are shifts toward tobacco-free generations, different groups of people. They want to gradually phase it out over time. And we mentioned what's going on in England and in New Zealand, but of course this is probably occurring in other countries as well. We've got this momentum, which means something is moving. People are making a push for something, and there is this momentum. We often talk about momentum in a sports contest. If, for example, your team scores a goal or two in the first half, if you're playing soccer, they've got the momentum. Okay, the other team is on the defensive. They have to work harder to catch up. And if you're ahead, hey, you've got the momentum. Things are going your way.
Yeah, you've got the win behind your back. You're definitely in more of a winning position if you've got momentum. I'm afraid that this is just the first step in starting to ban a lot of things we like. Because right now they're talking about banning meat and banning dairy, banning farms. It's gotten a little crazy. So
well, they should ban food so we don't get fat.
Well, that's really what they're leading to. They think there are too many people on this planet, Tom. So, yeah, let's see where this goes. I'm not sure a lot of people will be happy with this. I'm seeing more people in the UK, at least, rebelling against some of these controls. So we'll see. It's going to require more than just legislation, though, if they really want to combat smoking or some of the other bad habits out there. If these policies are implemented without adequate support frameworks, you've got to have support. You've got to help people. You can't just cut off their supply of cigarettes or access to pipe tobacco or cigars. You've got to, you know, help them if they really do want to quit. Because if you don't give those support frameworks, support groups, support from the government, maybe financially to help them, they could unintentionally, and this wasn't their intention, but it could just happen, this could give rise to alternative, equally harmful habits. Give rise to is just means it could bring up other problems that they had not thought about or didn't want to happen. but it could. So we'll see what happens, guys. Stay tuned. The news is always interesting around the world. Right now, it's time for us to sign off. Thanks for joining us for our All English Unit, and we hope you have a great, great day. This is Stephanie.
I'm Tom.
See ya.
Goodbye.